Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend show, we're going to be discussing some of the, I guess, change in trends and some of the economic data that we have seen throughout this fourth quarter, compare that to what we saw throughout this year, and then all the projections next year for what the Fed is going to do and how markets have reacted on the back of those expectations. We are chatting with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Financial Group. Now, Peter, high level, look, we have seen generally weaker economic data in the fourth quarter of this year. Q3 came out with around a 5% GDP number. A lot of people are saying, look, that's definitely the top of almost a blow-off anomaly data point here. But look, the Fed and a lot of investors, I think, are cheering some of this weaker economic data, still a slow downtick in inflation as they carry that over to Fed expectations and now pricing in rate cuts starting in March of next year and three more for the rest of next year. Peter, how are you viewing this weakening in U.S. economic data?
So let's take it piece by piece. So as you say, we had a great third quarter, but slicing that up, a lot of it had to do with inventory build and government spending and basically higher end spending, whereas the lower end consumer, and all you had to do was listen to any retail conference call over the past month, they're more challenged. And if you look at the fourth quarter estimate so far for GDP, it's probably going to be around 1% at best. I wouldn't be surprised after we digest December data and November data in the coming months that it could be a minus sign. So with the consumer, as I said, it's very bifurcated. Listening to Walmart, Target, Kroger, Home Depot, Lowe's, Ross Stores, Burlington Northern, TJ Maxx, Dollar Tree, just to throw out a bunch of names, Foot Locker. And, you know, there's some consistent themes here. The consumer is very discerning. And I've heard the word choiceful in terms of how they're spending their money. You have more people that are making six figures that are shopping at Kroger supermarkets and Walmart, as we've heard a few quarters now, them saying that. And then you have the manufacturing sector, which is basically in a recession and has been for more than a year, but it's been that way throughout the world. It's a global manufacturing recession and global trade also being somewhat subdued. So it's a very kind of upside down economy with these different cross currents. And then you look at housing, which is another chunk of the house, of the economy. And that's also upside down, where you have the pace of transactions with existing homes being near multi-decade lows. But on the other hand, the builder business in sort of filling that inventory gap seems to be doing better. Toll Brothers, as on the day we have this, reported a good quarter and the stock's trading up. So sort of a strange economy, but I still think that the impact of much higher interest rates relative to what we were used to for 15 years still has time to flow through, still has time to negatively impact those that have coming debt due the rest of this year into next year and the year after. So the knock on to the economy, I think, continues. And one last big piece of this puzzle when we look at the economy is the labor market, and we're seeing multiple signs of moderation. We saw that in the ADP report, where the three-month average is about 100,000, which is quite a downtick from what we've been seeing in the Conference Board consumer confidence number. Those that say jobs are hard to get is at a multi-year high. We have continuing claims that are a multi-year high. So now we're seeing the slowdown in hirings. not really a pickup in firings as measured by low jobless claims, but certainly a pickup in hirings, which is typically the first reaction on the part of an employer in how to deal with a slowing economic backdrop. If this continues, then you'll see the pickup in firings, but just not yet. So I know when I went on there, but hopefully that answered the question, at least on the state of the U.S. economy. And then Europe is basically in a recession. Germany, the biggest economy in that region, certainly is. Asia's mixed, with China obviously seeing continued slowdown, but other parts of some strength in Singapore, Southeast Asia, generally speaking, and Japan. So very much a mixed bag.
Well, Peter, just to that theme of it being a mixed bag, a lot of these different segments of the economy that you broke down there, there's bifurcation even within their data, and there seems to be a tug of war between bulls and bears as to which directions things are trending. So when you bring up the consumer, you know, you brought up them being choiceful and discerning, and that certain companies are getting a bid, but where other companies may be pointing out a totally different forecast from their Q3 earnings reports, and as they look into Q4 in the beginning of next year. Manufacturing, it's been weak for a while, but there's other segments that are saying, hey, manufacturing has got an uptick in certain cities. And so people are looking at different data. Same thing with the jobs report. You can look at certain cracks under the surface, but overall, people still feel like the jobs market has been stronger than one would expect, considering the macro backdrop of the tightening cycle and a lot of companies having to jostle with inflation. What do you think is going to be the thing that gets the market's moving in a more, I guess, cohesive narrative where either we're in a recession going into next year or we're having this proverbial soft landing? Because it seems like there's not agreement even amongst economists or the financial media on these topics.
Well, we still have sort of a post-COVID world flow through that has distorted a lot of these data points. Who would have thought that mortgage rates would more than double and home prices would still go higher? Now, that's because, you know, the Federal Reserve's policies turn that upside down. You mentioned the labor market hanging in there. It certainly is. But I think a key reason why we're seeing a very modest pace of firings is that companies spent the last couple of years sort of rebuilding their staff, particularly if you were in leisure and hospitality and were owning a restaurant, for example, where your business got crushed. When with the shutdowns, you lost a lot of people. It's taken a lot of time to get those people back. But now I think a lot of that sort of demand in that sector particularly has been satiated. If you look at the ADP report, you actually saw a decline for the first time in a long time in the number of jobs within leisure and hospitality. But if I spent the last 2 years struggling to build up staff, you know, I'll eat some profit margin just to maintain it rather than just quickly firing them. But I think this is sort of a slow-moving story, but a story that will continue to pick up steam. And I think it's very important from an investor standpoint is to focus on the trajectory of things, because not every economic expansion happens all at once. Not every downturn happens all at once. It happens in different type of stages. You know, we talk about the big sharp rise in interest rates. Well, that doesn't affect everybody all at once. It only affects you if you're either needing to borrow to buy a home or a new project for business, or you have a loan coming due. If you don't have either, well, then at least right now, you're not necessarily impacted directly. I say directly because indirectly you are in some way because it slows growth, but you're not directly impacted by the rise in interest rates. But if you have a loan coming due in 2025, at some point, you're going to get impacted, and chances are your borrowing rate then will probably be higher than on the loan that's going to mature. So it's eventually going to get around to you, and that's what makes all this somewhat unusual when you have 15 years of zero interest rates, and then you skyrocket up all in 1 year. It has there aren't really any historical playbooks for that kind of environment. This is just very different in terms of that sort of move in interest rates, really all out of nowhere over an 18-month period relative to the zero bound that we had for 15 years, were obviously negative in Japan and Europe.
Yeah, what a change we have seen just in the last year, and that is having repercussions in the markets and going to for a while. Peter, we're out of time for this segment, but we're having you back on next segment, so everybody listening, Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Financial Group. Peter, we ended last segment with a quick comment on interest rates. Let's stay there for a little bit longer because
they are also a barometer for what people are expecting the Fed to do. And look, the 10-year was pretty much at 5% at the start of November and has moved almost straight down since then into the low 4% range. That ties in with everybody expecting the Fed to start cutting. Where is the sweet spot for, let's say, interest rates? Because, boy, oh, boy, it has been volatile.
Well, sweet spot, I guess it's tough to say. I mean, I think if you look at short-term interest rates, the Fed's done raising interest rates. The Bank of Canada sat on its hands. The Reserve Bank of Australia sat on its hands. The ECB, the BOE. I mean, these central banks are done raising interest rates. So you can argue pretty easily that short-term interest rates have stopped going up, and they're pretty attractive here at these levels. I think the real question is what happens with longer-term interest rates. And if you look at the U.S. 10-year, as we're speaking here, we're already down to 4.11, astonishingly. But it was 3.75, give or take, in June, July. And then the Bank of Japan decided to widen yield curve control, and then we just took off all the way to 5%. And it was not just a rise in U.S. yields. It was a global rise in interest rates. And as you mentioned, we've since backed off here. But we're still above where we were over the summer. I think that this is more of a needed consolidation of that yield move higher before another leg higher in yields. But it definitely is happening in conjunction with the moderation in inflation stats everywhere in Europe and Asia and also in the U.S., which is then also triggering the belief that the Fed, forget about raising interest rates again, the market's obviously pricing in now a bunch of rate cuts next year, and that has led to this rally here. But, you know, we're rallying also, people have to understand, because of these worries about growth. And I understand the excitement that maybe the Fed will get out of your face with the rate hikes, but they're getting out of your face for not necessarily good reason. At the same time, just because they're getting out of your face on the rate side doesn't mean they're really out of your face, because they're still going to keep rates elevated even if they cut. Certainly, we're not going back to zero anytime soon. And central banks are still shrinking their balance sheet. So the Bank of Canada sat on their hands, but they said, we're going to continue to shrink our balance sheet. The Fed has plans to continue to shrink their balance sheet. In the Financial Times within the last week, I saw an article that the ECB is thinking about speeding up the pace at which they shrink their balance sheet, or at least they cut back on the amount of reinvestments out of their pandemic purchase program. I mean, we're well past the pandemic, and the ECB still has a pandemic emergency purchase program. There is still a level of tightening that is going to continue on, even if central banks, in a way, cut rates.
Yeah, it's a really strange environment to be in, because we still do have some emergency measures in place that you would think would have already wrapped up by now, especially if the economy is supposed to be on somewhat better footing, according to some metrics. But this fall in rates has been a boon to gold. Let's talk about gold, Peter, because it's had a lot of factors, and I'd like to get your thoughts on which ones matter. Obviously, geopolitics and some of the conflict in the Middle East did play a factor, but falling rates and the falling dollar also are a tailwind for the precious metal. People have been buying bonds, which has brought down the rates, but the question is, why are people buying gold? Why are people buying bonds? It's undeniable that gold's had a breakout here. We had the highest monthly close last Thursday, highest weekly close last Friday. So there's some good technical picture, but what is moving gold at this point, and what is its trajectory moving forward?
So the biggest buyer of gold over the last couple of years really began in the second quarter of 2022, that then accelerated into the third quarter, where you saw the highest level of central bank buying of gold going back decades, and it could be on record. I just don't have a chart going back that far. And that was triggered by the U.S. and the EU confiscating about half of Russia's central bank reserves. The amazing thing about gold's behavior over the last couple of years is since January 2022, so call it right on the cusp of the Fed finally raising interest rates and shrinking their balance sheet, if you look at the five-year tip yield, you've seen a 400-plus basis point increase in real rates from about negative 200 to positive 200. You've seen a notable rise in the dollar relative to the euro, yen, and pounds predominantly. And gold hung in phenomenally well in the face of that. And I think a lot of that had to do with the voracious buying from central banks. Now you throw in the historical tailwinds for gold, a softer dollar, and lower real rates, and we've seen a back off of about 50 basis points in the 5-year real rate, and that was enough. So gold became this coiled spring and busting out of that. Now, I know it's sort of, again, struggling around the $2,000 level. This last Sunday night, we saw a spike above 2,100 in a short covering, thinly traded Sunday night panic. But I think it's pretty telling, again, how well it traded over the last 2 years in the face of those headwinds. And now you throw in the tailwind, and it seems that there's a lot of further upside potential here if that the real rate move and the dollar softness continues.
What about carrying that over to the gold stocks? We saw higher volume come into some of the majors. GDX has rebounded fairly strong after that breakdown in October and even just in the second half of November. Have you seen a discernible and significant sentiment shift towards those gold stocks that just consistently underperform gold?
I think while we've seen a rise in some of these gold stocks, I still think that people just are apathetic towards it. And that's because, number one, they've been teased before with this $2,000 level in gold. Number two, it's buying miners. You have a few different types of buyers of miners. You have those that follow them closely, can differentiate one from the other. And then you have the generalist who says, okay, gold's going up, let me get some exposure, and I'll just buy Newmont, Barrick, and Agnico, the three biggest. And that'll give me my gold exposure. But even with those, you know, there's still this history of disappointment in terms of earnings growth, disappointment in terms of keeping one's cost in line, just constant disappointment. And, you know, that there's a lot of sort of scars on people's backs by owning miners over the years. I mean, even just look back from 1999 when gold bottomed at 250 and had its meteoric rise. I mean, these miners just have traded so poorly in the face of that it's just there's just so much still disgust. So I think what you need is a sustained move higher above 2,000 in the price of gold, and I emphasize the word sustained. And that's when I think these gold companies that have all-in sustainable costs, would call it a range of, you know, the really high-quality ones probably closer to 1,000, and the other ones maybe 1,300. Where there's some serious profit margin and cash flow generation that's going to happen, some serious debt pay down, that these companies can finally get rewarded. But you can be sure, as human nature never changes, that will happen if, again, the rise in gold can be sustained, because who wants to miss a momentum rise? And these miners are going to experience at some point a good, solid momentum rise, and everyone's going to chase it, and no one's going to want to miss it.
All right, that's our time for this segment on the radio. If you want to hear the rest of the interview with Peter Buchvar, please visit our website or podcast. And stick around, we're going to be right back with Mark Chandler.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News. News update. Fresh off the fourth GOP debate at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa earlier this week, Nikki Haley back in Iowa Friday campaigning in Sioux City, saying she just needs to have a good showing there. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, whose campaign has yet to catch fire with voters, says he has no plan of dropping out of the race at this time and is focusing his efforts on campaigning in Michigan. Now, looking at some of the recent polling in New Hampshire ahead of the GOP primary there, a CNN survey finds Christie in third place with 14% of the vote, Nikki Haley at 20%, and former President Trump with 42% of the vote as it stands right now. In other news, award-winning actor Ryan O'Neill has died at the age of 82, his son Patrick confirming the news on social media. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments as we are transitioning now over to more broad market commentary here, as well as looking back on the last couple weeks, some key, I guess, changes in trend that we have seen in some of the larger markets. We are chatting right now with Mark Chandler, managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, let's start off with the data on Friday. When we are recording this, the jobs numbers out of the U.S. came out, and payrolls in November grew by just short of 200,000. That was about 14,000 more than expected. However, the prior 2 months were revised lower by a total of 35,000. So broadly, we can call this a wash, I guess, and the market moves on the back of this have been fairly volatile in terms of U.S. markets, which are mostly flat on the day. The dollar is getting a bounce, and even more interestingly, I think interest rates are getting a bit of a bounce after a pretty tough sell-off. So before we get into some of these individual markets, Mark, what did you see within the jobs data here that you think needs to be noted?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, the jobs data, the headline number seems fairly good. I mean, 199,000, can't complain about that. But when you really strip away the government sector, you get the private payrolls, that was 150,000, and that included about 30,000, 35,000 returning striking workers. So we really are looking at a relatively subdued private sector jobs report. However, underneath it, remember that the job report is really a composite of two different surveys. One's an establishment survey. That's how we get the non-farm payrolls, the payrolls of these businesses. But there's also a household survey. And the household survey showed a jump of almost 750,000 jobs. That is why the news, I think, that was going to lead the headlines is that the unemployment rate fell from 3.9% to 3.7%. Many people were concerned that if we got up to 4% and we're still there in January, that the SOM rule, which is just a regularity that unemployment has like an inflection point. If it rises a little bit, no big deal. But once it rises past a certain threshold, then it continues to go up. That 4% is a threshold for January. And we come back down to 3.7%. So I'd say that the risk of this recession signal has diminished. And what makes it all the more important is that the participation rate went up. Typically, when the participation rate goes up, you'd expect some upward pressure on the unemployment rate. But that didn't happen this time. So I think that also the favorable development. And the other development that's favorable, I guess two other ones. One is the average work week. The average hours increased. And this is important because we know that output is GDP. All the goods and services we produce is a function of how many hours are being worked and productivity. So increase in hours worked means that given the millions of, tens of millions of people that are working, that increase of only 6 minutes a week is tantamount to a couple hundred thousand full-time positions. So output, this is bottom line here, is that there's no sign in today's U.S. jobs data that the economy is on the edge of recession. And I think that the markets responded accordingly, as you would expect, taking interest rates higher as they rethink the aggressiveness of Fed policy.
Now, this move down in interest rates, yes, it picked up a bit of steam in the last couple of weeks, but rates were moving down all of November after the 10-year almost reached 5%. This has clearly helped out the U.S. equity markets, because look at how well the markets have done in November. But even a day like today on Friday, it's interesting to see U.S. markets more flatlining, more neutral as rates continue to move higher. Are you correlating any of your outlook for the U.S. markets with where rates are going, that it sounds like you think they could tick up a little bit?
Yeah, I do think rates could go up a bit more. That tells me, to your point about the stock market, that we still may struggle a little bit. But I do think that in a broad picture, though, the U.S. economy is slowing down, but it's not slowing down quickly. And that's why I really think that this the week ahead is going to be very important as far as how much central banks push against the aggressiveness of rate cuts that are being priced in.
Well, Mark, what do you make of some of the market reaction to the wobbles in the rates that we see in other sectors? Because there are some sectors very triggered by moves in the interest rates, and we've seen some pretty big moves over the last week or two in a number of commodity markets and also currency markets.
Yeah, so to me, there's three big moves that are like, sort of like, whiplash, how fast and big these moves have been. And I know many people are concerned that we've seen a jump in volatility of what's regarded as supposed to be one of the safest assets, U.S. Treasuries. So I do think that some of the volatility we've seen in gold and oil, for example, have really been a function of or part of this larger picture of higher volatility in the interest rate markets. I was amazed by not only gold's rally to record highs, but also the reversal. To me, it was like on Monday this week when we had like roughly $125 range in spot gold, closing lower on the day below the previous day's low, and now we've got some follow-through selling. I think that was kind of a climactic sell-off or climactic rally in gold and marks a top. I mean, record high, yes, not sustained for more than a few hours. So gold, I thought, was a big move. And I think it partly makes sense. If you think about gold, leaving aside the historic attribute of a safe haven in that, but if you tell me that gold is a non-interest-bearing asset and interest rates just fell sharply, I would say that it seems to me to make sense then that non-interest bearing assets do better in a lower interest rate environment. So not just gold, but as we were talking about before, crypto also did well. In the currency markets, the low yielders, are the Japanese yen, which is the only G10 currency that's going to close higher on the week against the U.S. dollar, and the Swiss franc, which has also done well, not so much against the U.S. dollar, but really within its neighborhood, and by that I mean just December 7th, the euro fell to new lows for the year against the Swiss franc. And so I see the decline in interest rates boosting risk appetites and favoring those assets that don't have a yield stream.
So, Mark, to your point about gold and how it did reach those all-time highs, it's also been noted a number of times that it closed the month last month at all-time highs and then closed last week at all-time highs. Is this more bullish longer term then because of those monthly and weekly closes?
I don't know. I suppose there's some technicians that would say that, but I'm thinking that what we're experiencing today or this week could end up to be a big outside down week, a very bearish development. It looks to me like we're going to close. We're down almost $30 in the spot market here ahead of the weekend. We're going to close below the 20-day moving average for the first time in a couple of weeks. I suspect we're headed towards the 200-day moving average around 1950 or so. And, of course, those lows from November are a little bit lower, near 1931, 1932, which also at the time was a 200-day moving average. So I do think there's more downside, which still makes sense in the bigger macro picture of these relationships where U.S. interest rates may have bottomed, especially ahead of the FOMC meeting next week. And so we can see higher global interest rates, and also then more unwinding of this gold rally.
So it's all a connected world out there with where interest rates are going and where some of these other markets move. Look, I know that a number of people are excited about that breakout in gold, and it did reverse quickly, but even a correction down into the, 1950s, 1940s, that's still an overly strong gold price. It just needs to carry over to some of the stocks, but hey, Mark, I really appreciate kind of your take on where a lot of these markets are moving. We still have a lot to talk about in the next segment. We're going to talk a bit more about currencies. We'll also move into the oil price, which, boy, oh boy, that's been on a wild ride, and what to look forward to next week, because there is a lot of central bank meetings and economic data coming out next week. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back, continuing to chat with Mark Chen.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised, we are still chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex and editor of the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, as I said, I wanted to look at a couple other areas, and let's talk about oil prices. Now, those can also be impacted by interest rates, but another barometer for oil prices is the health of the overall economy. With some of this weaker economic data that we have seen, has maybe investors thinking that, well, there just won't be that much demand for oil moving forward. Maybe that's why we've seen a pretty quick correction in the last almost month and a half here, from right around the 90 level to in around that 70 level, and just even breaking below 70 briefly earlier this week. Mark, your takeaway. What do you think the key drivers behind oil are currently?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think oil is really more about supply and demand. And most recently, I think it's really been about demand. People are concerned about the weakness of demand. And that's why it's not surprising to me that around the U.S. jobs data, the strength of the U.S. jobs data, we're seeing oil bounce back here. Remember, oil, so I'm looking at the WTI, and we have fallen. This is going to be the seventh week in a row of decline, which really matches the longest losing streak in oil since I think it's like 2018 or so. So I think it's primarily demand, but there's also some concern about supply. You know, what a lot of people miss, because they focus so much on the U.S. strategic reserves, the U.S. is producing about 13, maybe a little bit more than 13 million barrels a day. The U.S. is becoming the world's largest oil producer. And it's exporting about just shy of half of that. And so I'd say that, and not only is the U.S. supply there, but it seems like the market didn't give much credibility to the OPEC's idea of, yeah, the Saudis would extend their million barrel cut, and the other countries would voluntarily cut somehow another million barrels on a voluntary basis. And the market's just suspicious of that. We also, reports suggest that Russia is producing a bit more than it admits to, and several other countries within the OPEC family are as well. Kind of interesting, one interesting development that caught my eye was that Brazil is going to join OPEC next year, but says it will not participate in any output cuts. It's just kind of interesting. OPEC grows, but maybe a little bit less teeth to it. This is a big drop in oil prices that we've seen over this run. It began really late October. Oil was near $87 a barrel. So just shy from that $90 a barrel you were pointing out. But almost $87 a barrel. And over this run, we've dropped to today we're at 69.5. And I'm looking at the January WTI contract. So I do think that this move is a bit excessive in oil, and I would expect to see oil begin recovering a bit more, maybe back up towards $75, $76 a barrel next week.
Yeah, Mark, it's been so interesting to watch these OPEC countries, and if Brazil comes on board with OPEC, a lot of them don't want to cut their production. They want to keep producing, and so that's helped drive the price down. Is that that's one thing to say you're going to do production cuts, and it's another thing to see those countries actually do them. So that's going to be interesting to keep our eyes on. But that does bring into the equation, do these lower energy prices help with the inflation picture? We are going to get an inflation reading in the week to come, but what other data are you watching in the week to come? You've mentioned to us off mic that next week may be one of the last important weeks for a lot of key data. Walk us through what you're going to have on your radar.
Sure. So I do think that the drop in oil prices helps inflation expectations, and we saw that with the University of Michigan's survey. The one-year inflation November number showed an increase, and today, ahead of the weekend, we saw a sharp drop in inflation expectations. The one-year fell from 4.5% to 3.1%. The 5- to 10-year fell from 3.2% to 2.8%. And in the U.S., we've been seeing a sharp drop, roughly a 20 to 25% in retail gasoline prices. All that should help the inflation picture. And you're right, that's going to be, in terms of economic data, that is one of the big pieces next week. We're going to get U.S. CPI, and it looks like another flat number in November after a flat October reading. So that'll help ease inflation. But I think that the real focus next week is going to be on central bank meetings more than the inflation reading. I think people feel comfortable with the CPI easing a bit more. And the focus then is on how does policymakers respond? And so we have the Federal Reserve meeting on Wednesday, and there the important thing to keep in mind is not that the Fed's going to do anything, but that they will update their forecasts. And the September dot plot, they had forecast, the median dot was for one rate cut from current levels. They thought that they would hike rates another time this year, and so if you really look at the numbers, it's really looking at two cuts next year, but only one, given that they've only raised rates once. So they've got one cut priced in. The market says there are going to be four cuts next year at least. And so I'd be looking at what the Fed says more than what the Fed does. And there, keep in mind that the summary of economic projections, their dot plot, is a communication tool and part of the forward guidance they give to the market. The following day, the ECB, the Bank of England, and the Swiss National Bank meet. None of them are likely to do anything. And the ECB is going to update its forecast as well. And again, here the issue is how much do officials push back? You know, when the Fed met previously in November, November 1st, the big argument was, well, the market's done some of the tightening for the Fed. And we're talking about the tightening of financial conditions. And Powell mentioned, he said the word persistence several times, meaning that it's not just short-term moves about tightening of financial conditions, but the moves have to be sustained. We haven't seen them sustained. But meanwhile, the market's pricing in that the first cut from the ECB, it's more than 50% priced in for March. And this seems perhaps a little bit aggressive. I'd be leaning more towards a Q2 cut for the ECB. But again, the economy is weak, near stagnation or worse, and inflation is fallen to just above 2%. So there's a justification for it. But I think that a lot of central banks sort of saw their inflation credentials tarnished a bit, whether in a post-COVID environment, whether it's their expanding their balance sheets or how long it took them to raise rates. Whatever it is, I think that the central banks would probably want to stay tighter for a little bit longer than the market's pricing in. We also get the Bank of England meeting, and the Bank of England has been maybe more successful than the ECB or the Fed in pushing back against ideas of a near-term rate cut. The market doesn't have the first rate cut fully priced into for the UK until early Q3, while the market is about say 70% chance or so of a cut coming, say the first few, say in the around the end of Q1, both the Fed and the ECB. Swiss National Bank saw low inflation numbers as well. They're unlikely to cut rates. So again, the strength of the Swiss franc gives them that latitude. I think they too will prefer to be on hold, push back slightly against rate cut expectations, suggesting maybe it's not really delivered also until the middle of next year. The one that's the central bank that's more questionable from the market's point of view is Norway. Currency has been weak. The signal has been that they're not going to raise rates again, but the swaps market is still pricing in a chance that they raise rates again before they cut down. Those are the four, the few major central banks. That's going to be Wednesday, Thursday. But also to note that Mexico and Brazil, as far as the emerging markets go, those are the ones that people will be following. Brazil likely to continue to cut rates. That's part of the story of the cycle. Some of those emerging market countries raised rates before the Federal Reserve more aggressively than the Federal Reserve. And now, especially in Latin America, a couple countries in Central Europe beginning to cut rates ahead of the ECB and ahead of the Federal Reserve. Brazil is one of those countries. Mexico, though, is not. Mexico's overnight rate's about 11.25%. And they're slowly moving towards signaling a rate cut. They have elections in the beginning of June next year. The market's looking at two rate cuts by then, but nothing in the week ahead.
All right, so a lot for us to watch out for next week. And then, yeah, I think we're all expecting it to get a little bit more quiet as the holiday season comes around. But, boy, oh boy, the end of this year, especially November's moves, and now even into December, I'm sure some investors are a lot more optimistic heading into next year. But it has also been driven by slightly lower economic data. And as you said, a big change in investor expectations in terms of rate cuts, and a lot of them potentially coming next year. Mark, thank you as always for your time. It's great chatting with you. If anybody listening wants to follow along with Mark on a daily basis, go check out his website, mark2market.com. I'll post a link to that website within our weekend show posting. And Mark, thank you very much for joining us on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in, taking some time away from your weekend to listen to our guests. And please be sure to go back through our website and podcast to listen to all the daily editorials and company updates. Mark, everybody listening, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.